Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, a-doo. This podcast is part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of the Nancy Drew TV show starring Kennedy McMahon. Today we'll be talking about season 4, episode 11, The Sinner's Sacrifice.
So glad that I was wrong. I really thought that Ryan was going to go make a sin and end up dying.
It would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But no, we start off with Ryan kind of saving the day.
Yeah, Nancy is all tied up in an RV. Jonas and Shelby are talking it over, and she's the one really convincing Jonas that this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really want to kill someone.
Yeah, I got the vibes throughout the episode that Jonas was going to come to his senses, or that he maybe will stop her, because mm-hmm. he definitely seemed to have more of a conscience here.
Yeah, for sure. And he even says to Nancy, you know, we're sorry. And Shelby goes, no, we're not.
Right. She's like, this is the right thing to do. Like, you die or Tristan dies, and we've spent too much time trying to save our son's life to stop now.
So she leaves to go check on Tristan, and Nancy asks Jonas if he will use the ambith on her, just because she wants to know what the sin was that she went to the sin eater for.
Fair. I think I would want to know.
Yeah.
Well, he goes to do it, and all we see is some flames before Ryan busts in and takes Jonas down. And in the chaos, the ambith breaks. So Nancy's not going to find out what happened here.
We get the opening credits, and then we go to George and Nick. They are planning the Underground Historical Society. George is being kind of weird about Nick going on this road trip to Kansas City with Jade.
I love the little... So we live in Missouri, and it was kind of charming, the little conversation about Kansas City being in Missouri instead of being in Kansas, because it's actually... parts of Kansas City are in both states. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cute. And they're like, oh, it's only half hour difference.
Yeah, I did really like that.
And we get all three fan sisters. Well, four. All four fan sisters.
Yeah. Jesse, Charlie, and Ted come with a bunch of books that were on Bess's list, including the Iberian Protection Sigils book. So George is like, great. Now you don't need to take a romantic trip to Missouri.
Yeah. And it seemed a little like jealous, which I'm glad that by the end of the episode, we figure out what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And having the fan sisters was definitely on my bingo card for this season. I wanted to see all of them at least one more time because they've all been good, fun to watch recurring characters throughout the seasons.
Yes, I agree. I was very happy to see them.
I definitely got all their names messed up because we haven't seen them in so long.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to help me with that through this episode.
So they take off, and Nick sees that Judge Abbott has been reaching out to George. She says that he's been calling and texting, leaving messages, that he wants her forgiveness, but she thinks that some people don't qualify for redemption.
Nick is appalled by that.
Mm-hmm.
So love their dynamic. Love that he's always kind of looking out for her. And in this case, it's like looking out for her in a moral standpoint of like, I don't want George to like become a bad person. The Judge Abbott stuff, though, I feel is so blurry because he's not like, granted, it was years ago, but what he did was bad, like legitimately bad.
Mm-hmm. So. And if he was part of that one, who knows what else that he may have covered up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's just too much.
Yeah. And people can definitely change, and forgiveness is important. So it was cool to see the different sides of it. But right now, Nick is like, what the heck, George?
I don't know. If you were in George's position, would you talk to Judge Abbott?
That's hard. I think if I was in George's position in the time frame we're currently working, I think I would also be blowing off Judge Abbott. Down the line, I probably wouldn't be as callous as she is. Down the line, I'd probably be more like, okay, I can talk to you. I can forgive you. We can move on. But how quick everything happens on this show, I see where she's coming from in the sense that this was just like days ago. What about you?
I think I would also be acting like George, except for I would also try to make him earn it. Be like, okay, well, what do you know about the Sin Eater? Like, give us information that might be helpful.
Yeah, use him, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Because he has experience in this matter.
I also don't think that anyone is irredeemable. And I think that people should get second chances. Mm-hmm. But this is really quick after how betrayed she felt to, like you were saying, it was very recent. So
mm-hmm. Going back a little bit, Sarah, and opinions on everything. So you're a parent. I am not. Could you in any sense put yourself in Jonas or Shelby's shoes of like making these hard decisions to protect your child? Like if one of your children was the sin eater, do you see a world where you would be doing the things that they're doing?
I would definitely exhaust all resources to try and find a way to save him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like how Nick says, you don't trade a life for a life. Like, who am I to choose who gets to live and who gets to die?
For sure.
You know, if someone were to volunteer, that would be a different thing.
Which is kind of what happens and where George is at. And I'm like, I mean,
I would want it more to be like, okay, this person has days left to live.
Oh, I
see.
That kind
of thing.
So someone, okay, that makes sense. We could talk about morals and ethics this whole episode, kind of what it's about.
Yeah.
But we go over to Ace in the morgue, listening to K-pop. Are you a K-pop fan, Sarah?
I don't really know much K-pop.
I enjoy what I've heard, but I don't actively, like there's like one group I enjoy, but I don't actively seek it out. But I have some friends who are like super into it, who like go to all the concerts and things for specific people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike it. It's just not one that I normally listen to. And it sounds like Ghost isn't a big fan of it.
But she likes it. Ace likes it.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's okay. And she's like, well, you know every word.
And he obviously was like playing it. Why would you play it if you didn't like it?
Right.
So I think Ace liking K-pop fits very well and it's really charming.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I was getting a little frustrated with him. Well, just this whole storyline in general. I think appropriately, I think I'm following what we're supposed to be feeling here. That he's just like, this whole Ghost relationship situation is just toxic. And like, I feel like there's more to it. Like, I feel like there's some deeper, darker thing going on. And in this episode, more than the previous ones with the Ghost, there's parts that seem like sinister or eerie. Like, she'll show up and she's talking to him and it seems like the things that are being said are pleasant, but the music just seems a little off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that vibe?
I did.
Yeah, so I'm a little scared.
Yes, and I already accused her of being temperance at one point.
No, temperance is the ferret.
I know. We'll see if we can get to the end without me accusing everyone of it. I definitely, you know, as it appears on the screen, that Ace is enjoying talking with someone and it's not truly moving on from Nancy. He doesn't have to completely say goodbye to that relationship, right? Because there isn't actually a future with this one. So I can see that he is holding on to this thing that he knows cannot happen. Like that, it does make sense to me, the mentality behind it. I don't think it's healthy because it can't happen and because he knows that she should move on, that she should be able to.
Mm-hmm. It's like bad therapy for him.
Yeah.
Which, understandable. I see why he would want to do that, and I see how it could be healing in some form or fashion.
And he is telling her that he had a good time talking with her last night and that same time tonight, but before she can answer, Ace's parents come in, the power is out, and all the food is going to spoil. It's the first night of Passover. And he's like, does that mean that there's no Seder tonight? They're like, no, you're going to lead Seder at the claw.
And the dad is very against this. He's like, Ace, didn't you remember that it was the Passover? And the mom's like, I don't care. He's the leader of the house. I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
She was kind of cracking me up this whole episode. She
Yeah.
Very impassioned about the entire process.
Which makes sense because a few episodes ago, we saw like all the props of the plagues and all that.
Yes.
And so I like that they've built it up that she is so dedicated and that the dad is as well. But he's kind of being a jerk about it, I think.
So I'm sure there are lots of themes and metaphors and parallels to what's going on with all our different characters throughout the Seder. To me, this was really about like Ace's growth and kind of not wrapping up, but moving his storyline along and giving us a a wrap up with his parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure that we will get his parents again this season, because it was, yeah, it did give some closure to their story at the moment.
What do we feel about the mom saying that the Claw is Ace's house? So Ace
doesn't even work there anymore.
He doesn't work there anymore. I think she was just very like, this is how it's going to be, and was like grasping at straws to justify the decision. But I do think it makes sense that they do it at the Claw.
Yeah. And of the, I mean, I don't think we know the religion of the other members of the Drew crew and their families, but we know that the Ace is familiar and that he can lead it.
Mm-hmm.
So also a few episodes ago, when we saw the text messages between Ace and Nancy, he had invited her to Seder.
Oh.
And at that point, him and Bess were going to host it. Something like that. I don't have the text messages in front of me to remember. And now here he is, and he invites the ghost to the Seder tonight.
Yeah, he's like, I always wanted to bring a date home to one. I was like, this is wild.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, I wasn't sure if she would be able to follow him or if she's like contained to the morgue.
Right. I don't know. We don't know ghost rules in this world, do we?
No. And the comment about like, it was nice talking to you last night, was that at his house? So maybe she's already been following him around. Or yeah, he was just true. At the morgue 24/7.
That'd be a little uncomfortable. Like you're changing, you're going to the bathroom. Like, is the ghost just there watching you?
I don't know. And then also, it seems like maybe they should do the Seder at the morgue because that's actually his house.
Connor would not approve of that.
Mm-mm. We go over to the Claw. Of course, it's currently closed. Nancy and Ryan show up. She is justifiably freaking out that she called to the Sin Eater. He is being a great dad, great friend, encouraging her that he believes she did not actually do it. And then the cutest little mouse sneeze.
And Nancy is like, Bess, come out. No one but you makes that noise.
Relatable. Adorable.
Yes. And she's like, not mad. She's like, please come out. I think she's probably partially grateful that now someone else knows a secret without her having to admit it.
Relief. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she saw the picture. She knows that she did it. And all she knows from the Ambith is that there was fire. She learned about the Black Door 2 weeks ago. And so within the past 2 weeks, she needs to look at the fire-related incidents.
Ryan is going to return to the cabin with the spy cam, which I think we said the other episode that he'd be going back there. He's going to see what he can find, and he says he'll take the crossbow, and we get a very cute interaction here.
Only if you bring Nick.
He's like, no, I'm fine. And then both Bess and Nancy at the same time say, bring Nick.
That was amazing. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And then Bess is going to do a protection spell for Nancy. And she tells her about the body in the morgue. Makes Nancy promise not to say anything to Ace because he won't let you near the ghost. And Nancy's like, then you need to help me into the morgue.
And will he not let her near the ghost because he doesn't want her to get rid of the ghost? Is it a weird love triangle? Like, what? That all seemed a little...
Well, he's not letting Bess near the ghost either.
Okay.
It didn't go well when she tried.
Sure, sure, sure.
And so I think he's protecting her and wanting to keep it his own thing. And yeah, I think there's probably a lot of layers.
Yeah. The whole X thing.
Mm-hmm. He is in the freezer telling the ghost about Passover and how the story's in the food. We can see her in the background. That goes on quite a bit throughout the episode where we can see her.
It's cold, right?
Oh, that makes sense.
That's what I thought. The freezer for the cold.
And he talks about how his mom used to make props and toys and have a whole thing. And his job was to ask the four questions about why is this night different from all other nights. And he kind of talks about how when he was a kid, he loved it. But then he became a teenager and acted like a teenager. And you can kind of sense his regret about it. But that's when the dad opens the door.
Mm-hmm. He's like, why are you practicing? You should already have this down. It's too late. I'm like, God, I'm a break. Like, at least he's practicing and not just like gonna wing it or blow it off.
Right.
But
he wasn't practicing, but
well, sure.
His dad didn't know that.
Correct. I mean, at least he was talking about that topic though.
Right.
Like he was,
right.
I feel like reflecting on what you enjoyed about it and how things changed when you grow. I feel like that's still helpful to the cause of doing the activity.
Yeah.
and the dad loans him the leader book. He's like, this is just being loaned. And Ace assures him that he will figure it out.
And when he leaves, the dad signs to himself, definitely not ready. Like, that is just mean.
I know. We go over to George and Bess making matzo balls. And George is talking about her mom. So at least we get the acknowledgement that this woman still exists somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Bess is clearly distracted. She got a lot going on. Ace shows up and she dives right into her thievery ways.
Yeah, she's like, oh no, the box is leaking, and goes in with the towel. And he's like, it's matzah, literally the driest thing on earth. She's like, oh, trick of the light. And George is watching. George saw that she stole Ace's badge and like wants to know what's going on. I also like how when George was talking in the beginning about her mom, we learned that Victoria is still sober. Because that was such a big deal in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't want the temptation of wine, which I think is like a super mature decision. And also explains why we don't have her there, but we do have the other fan kids.
All right. Nancy shows up to the morgue and interacts with Connor, which is exciting because we don't see them together. Like the beginning of the season, we saw the Drew crew with Connor, but mostly it's just Ace.
I love how off her game she is. Like she shows up. Of course, Cece's going to be there. And she's just like, oh, Connor, you're here eating alone. That's sad. Like, that is uncalled for, first of all, Nancy. Connor is like actually happy with Ace for the first time that we've ever seen, I guess, because he thinks that he brought Nancy in to help figure out the Jane Doe. And he likes how dedicated the Ace is being.
Yeah, forgetting that the coffee mug was broken recently.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he didn't blame Ace for that. So that's good.
Yeah, that is good. So Nancy is kind of tiptoeing around trying to figure out information, and she wants to know who the EMT is that brought Jane Doe in. And it's Dale Calhoun from Trenton, which is interesting because that's outside of Horseshoe Bay town limits.
Okay. Why was that interesting?
Because the Sin Eater erases it from the town limits. So if anyone knew information outside...
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. I figured it was Sin Eater related, but I was like getting confused. I was like, well, this person isn't the Sin Eater. Like, we know it's Tristan. And because Tristan can't like get too far from Horseshoe Bay. So I was confused. So thank you for explaining that. And Nancy scoots her way backwards out of the... She's doing like pivots. She's like twirling her way out of the morgue.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, huh.
And then we go to Ryan and Nick in the RV that Shelby and Jonas were keeping Nancy in before.
And Nick looks like a badass with the crossbow coming in first.
Of course. Do you think at this point Nick knew what they were looking for?
I don't know. It depends how long it took them to get there and what they were talking about on their journey.
Okay. I couldn't tell either. And then he finds a picture of Nancy and he's like, okay, well, this confirms things that you wanted confirmed.
Yeah. So he had a general idea. But I also like that people aren't necessarily just assuming she did it. They're all waiting for the proof in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
They do a little bit of research, a little sleuthing, if you will, and figure out that the Clark Family Trust owns the cabin that the pictures were being printed out in. And so they figure out that there was a Callie Clark. And Callie Clark is now Callie Farquhar. So this fiend that from the moment she stood up in trial 3 or 4 episodes ago, I was like, she's bad news bears, is watching people erase their sins.
So she wouldn't actually know. Like it would, I would think it would erase the footage of what the actual like confession is.
But it's a cabin out of the town area.
Oh, that's true.
So yeah, I don't know how that works. Technology.
Yeah. Well, it's like printing the picture so she can see who's down there.
Right.
But that doesn't always confirm who actually makes the sin or confesses or whatever. I don't know. Because she doesn't know what the sins are, it seems like.
But if she's in the town limits when it happens, maybe it erases her. Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, she is spying on them and being terrible just in general. We go back over to George at the Claw. And we get a quick thing of her concern that Nancy's not calling her back. And then the door opens and it's Judge Abbott.
Yeah, she's not returning his calls. He tried to get in touch with Maggie. He wants to help make things right. And George is like, oh, why don't you show up at her work? That'll work.
Yeah, I'm like, that was a funny line.
It's true. But she is not being kind and she is not being forgiving.
No, and he seems genuine that he is profoundly sorry and mm-hmm. he wants to make things right and he does not know how to do that. He needs to find a road to forgiveness. And George is like, I don't have time to help you. I have a friend who may have called the Sin Eater and now some maniacs want to sacrifice her because she's the last one to have her sin erased. And he's like, perfect. I'll call the Sin Eater tonight and Target will be off your friend's back. Put on me.
And you just see her thinking about it when the show goes to a commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, for the sake of the TV show, I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, I know.
But from a ethical standpoint, I was like, well, they can't really let that happen. But I mean, he did come up with it on his own.
Right. I think I knew that it wasn't going to happen because of the fact that he said it so blatantly.
Yeah, if he just went and did it and then we get this like shock, that would have been different.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nancy is at the hospital looking into Dale, the EMT. Well, he is on vacation, so that's not going to work for anybody. And she runs into Jean. She's got a bunion issue on her feet. And I'm immediately not buying it.
No, she was like, oh yeah, my podiatrist is on the third floor. And I'm immediately thinking, there's no podiatry on the third floor.
Right. And I feel like Nancy's even like, huh. But Nancy is so distracted by all of her own things that she does not suspect anything. She's just chatting. And she tells Jean she's doing some work for a client who wants to keep it confidential. And Jean's like, oh, sounds like a guilty client to me. I was like, that's kind of presumptuous, but I guess she has experience in these things.
Yeah, and also it sounds like she's right because Nancy is guilty.
Mm-hmm. As mentioned, Dale is on vacation, so that's a dead end.
I love the camera shot here that it's just like kind of like a zoom out on Nancy and then she is just like so lost in this moment. Like she always knows what to do, but yeah, she has hit another dead end.
All right. Nick and Ryan show up to the Historical Society and they accuse Farquhar of her wrongdoings. And this lady is just selling keychains and postcards.
Yeah, she has a great gift shop here. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about with this cabin. And it's like, Ryan's like, yeah, you do. Because you're playing with your necklace there.
He's so clever. He's picked up so many things over the seasons.
And while he's talking to her, Nick is catching the fan sisters stealing books. Jesse's like, Narc says, what?
What did you think about? So there were a few episodes ago where George was kind of like, okay, Nick, we're still like co-parenting. And he was not about it. But here he's just fully like helping with the whole fangirl situation without the double layer of like, I shouldn't be doing this. Or this is weird for George and I. Like this all felt very natural.
Well, I think this situation was different because it's not George telling him, hey, go do this. It's him being like, hey, what they are doing is wrong. If it was anyone else that was stealing books for the Historical Society, like, I think he would have said something to them, too.
Agreed.
While he is talking with them, Ryan is talking with Callie, being like, I'm guessing you're extorting the sinners, and the glasses want to kill my daughter to end the Sin Eater. So there goes your side gig. And she's picking up the phone to call the police. And so he leaves with Nick saying, okay, well, I have complete confidence that she knows what is going on.
Can we talk a little bit about Chief Lovett? Callie's like, I'm going to get Chief Lovett here. We have not seen Chief Lovett since Callie showed up, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I made some comment when Callie first showed up that it felt very like Temperance changing actresses.
Yeah.
I know these are two different characters, but for all intents and purposes, they were the like blonde problematic person in town that was anti-Bess with the Historical Society.
Yeah.
So they're fulfilling the same role. They just did it a little smoother than just Temperance flat out changing actresses, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But unless we see Chief Lovett in the next two episodes, I feel like they literally, like it was supposed to be Chief Lovett that was the issue.
Oh, and then there was like maybe a problem with the...
Yeah.
That could be.
What I'm vibing with. But again, this one I think was more like Callie makes sense as a character on her own, and Chief Levitt made sense as a character on her own. Mm-hmm. So I think it works. But the fact that we're looking so thoroughly into the behind the scenes, like to how the show is put together.
Yeah.
I feel like that's could have been what happened.
We go over to Icarus Hall. Bess made a cute little sign that Nancy goes this way, the villains go the other way, so that everything is clear for her ash circle that she made. Nancy's on the phone with Carson, and he's asking her what to wear to a Seder. And she tells him whatever Jean was wearing today is fine. And he's like, well, would you see her? And she was like, oh, well, I saw her at the hospital. She has a bunion issue. And he makes her so uncomfortable talking about, well, her feet were fine this morning.
This whole Carson Jean feet thing got very uncomfortable.
It did.
Not just for Nancy. I was uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All caps in my notes. So uncomfortable. He's like, she has the feet of a newborn.
Which, gross.
Yeah.
But
bigger. They're bigger than newborn feet. Yeah, he just was bad.
It's also stated here that Nancy's not going to the Seder.
Yeah. And then she thankfully gets an unknown call, so she takes that instead of continuing this foot conversation. And Shelby says, we're still counting on you to be there at 10 p.m.
I laughed.
And Nancy's like, I'm not going to be there.
It was really funny because yeah. It was so casual. It was like, hey, we still on for brunch?
Yeah.
But this is like, hey, you still on to be murdered?
Yep. Shelby's like, no, you will be there because we put this relic on your back and it's going to paralyze you. And then Shelby shows up and paralyzes her.
Yes, because Nancy brought the relic into the ash circle on her own, so it wasn't like Shelby got it into there. Mm-hmm. So Bess's thing worked, but Nancy brought it in herself.
Yeah.
Do do do.
So this little dose, she said that Nancy will be better in a few minutes, but tonight it'll be enough to kill you. Whether you are there or not, don't let your death be in vain. Save Tristan.
All right. Should we go ahead and take a break?
Yeah, we will be right back. And we are back at the Claw, and Ace is welcoming everyone to the Seder. We have his parents, an ASL interpreter, Carson and Jean, Bess, George, Nick, Jesse, and Ted.
For me, this really, again, I know there's parallels. I know there's metaphors for what's going on with our characters. It really felt like we were just getting a nice look how far Ace has come over the four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're learning a little bit about the culture. I didn't know much about this. It's really cool, though, the like party element of it. I feel like if I were a kid, I'd be so into this.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone has a part to play. It's almost like theater.
Yeah. And Ace is going for it. You can tell he's nervous and he's mixing some stuff up. And his dad is making comments about speeding up. Bess is being supportive of him. I love the little look when Nick tells Jesse he wants to talk to her. And she just slides her booklet up over her face.
She's like, I'm busy being involved in what's currently happening, Nick. Yeah, that was really funny. And then Carson is being freaking gross and weird. He's like, you can take off your shoes if you want. And Jean's like, no, I'm good. He's like, you can take off your shoes.
Yeah. He's like, the Seder's all about being comfortable. So you can take off your shoes.
It's like, what are you going to do? Looked at, like, get on the floor and check out her feet for bunions?
I don't know if he had a plan.
I don't think he did.
I don't think so. So they go through the wine and juice. They have parsley with the new beginnings, the salt water, the tears they shed in Egypt. The Afikoman, he's like, you're going to be searching for this later. Ted gets asked a question that Ace used to ask when he was younger. She asks why this night is different from other nights. And he says that we celebrate going forth from bondage to freedom. Tonight we will tell that story. So I feel like that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they are being held in bondage by the Sin Eater and this erasure of history and all that.
And the glasses literally having Nancy captive.
That too. And then they are going forward to freedom. So that gives me hope. Hopefully. Maybe.
Yeah, end of season, feeling pretty positive about the future here. But then the very charming, very heartwarming stuff at the table is comedically broken up by Ace's mom not being pleased with the quality of Bess's bowls. Yeah.
I mean, it's not against Bess. It's the Claw bowls.
It was funny.
Yes, it was funny.
Bess is like, I don't know what to do for you.
And they start talking about the story of the burning bush. And that's when Nancy bursts in and is like, sorry, but I need Bess.
Of course she does. Now she does. Last episode, she's like, we don't need Bess. I'm like, no, you always need Bess.
Of course.
Nancy needs to know what she did, what sin she confessed to, but she can't figure it out because the EMT guy is scuba diving for weeks. That sounds delightful.
Yes.
I want to go scuba diving.
Yes, that part sounds delightful.
Well, yes. No. What the EMT is doing is great. Yes. So she wants to know what her sin was, so she is better than Judge Abbott. She wants to clear her conscience, pretty much.
Yeah, she says, I am lost and you should write me off because you don't know who I am either. And Bess feels sorry for her and tells her, okay, you need the headphones, you need the ice. Then asks, okay, well, what are the complications you mentioned? And Nancy's like, there's this paralyzing thing on my spine and they are going to kill me at 10 p.m. tonight, whether I'm there or not. So, you know, I got that going on.
Bess's face is hilarious. And she also is like, Nancy, priorities. Like, and Nancy's like, well, I don't know how to solve the spine situation. I don't know how to solve this thing that's attached to me. So I can just try to solve the other mystery. Can you help me with the thing attached to me? And Bess is like, well, obviously I'm going to, but she's very like flustered.
Yeah.
And just like exhausted seeming. She's like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, you better be done with the seance by the time I am back or I will write you off. Now, show me your back. And then we go over to Nick and Jesse in the kitchen. They're serving up the soup and he's like, oh, where's Charlie? And Jesse's just like, Charlie's garage sailing, which is what she said at the beginning about where they found all the books. And he's like, you can't keep stealing. You're going to get caught. And Jesse's like, hey, George told us to do it in case the plan with Judge Abbott didn't work out.
And he's like, what plan with Judge Abbott?
Then Nancy summons the spirit of the girl with no name. She says she wants to help her. And the lights are flashing. Ace is talking about gifts from God. There's windy.
Yeah, maybe the wind is coming from the exhaust fan being broken. These people in all these shows that turn a blind eye to the supernatural is always funny to me.
It is, yeah. I love Ace's line about their jumping forward to, you know, go ahead and find the Affy Coleman. And he says his dad promised $10 to whoever finds it. And we look at Ace's dad, and Ace's dad did not say that. I thought that was a great little get back at him for all of his criticisms of the whole leading.
Oh, yeah. And he's not going to interrupt this moment to be like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Which was funny. Nick finds George sitting outside waiting for the roundel to activate. He's like, you cannot sacrifice one life to save another. And I'm paraphrasing this, but I love George's line. Who do you want to save, Nick? Our friend who we love or this piece of crap judge who did this terrible thing? Dang.
Yeah.
And I mean, she has a point. Like, if someone has to die and he volunteered, so it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But they all make the right decision in the end.
Yeah, she leaves with a roundel saying, enjoy your mountain, Moses. Back inside, Ace finds a tornado in the back room, and it's the ghost saying, make her stop asking how I died. I love Carson out there trying to, like, justify everything. He's like, oh, yeah, no, Ace is really making the showmanship here. Maybe it's Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And Ace's mom is like, it is too early for Elijah.
More worried about the actual, you know, tradition here than what is happening in front of her face. Ace catches Nancy and asks her why she's so worried about solving this issue.
He is pissed.
He also tells her that he likes the ghost, which kind of a big deal.
Yeah, he says for the first time since Nancy, somebody is making him happy. And if Nancy solves this, then that goes away. And he doesn't want her to go away.
Very sad, but understandable.
And you can see, like, on Nancy's face, like, she gets it and is sorry because that is not at all what she is intending to do. And she doesn't want to do that.
Correct. And she also can relate because she feels, well, the reason she feels close to Tristan are complicated. But initially, she felt close to Tristan because it was something different from the Ace situation. A chance to maybe move on slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Since they have great taste in people, a ghost and a sin eater.
Yep.
Carson is is out in the main part of the claw being completely ridiculous, being like, Jean, there's broken glass, protect your feet.
And she's like, stop talking about my feet.
And then the wind abruptly stops and she screams what I thought was pretty obvious, mm-hmm. that she is pregnant.
She leaves and Nancy comes out and she's like, it wasn't bunions, was it? I feel like Nancy already figured it out and just like put it on the back burner. She's like, this is not something I can waste my energy on right now.
Which is kind of good of her because, you know, your father having a way later baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad she wasn't focused on that. But how could she be? There's a thousand things going on.
And right now she's also like, I'm going to be dead in a few hours anyway. So what does it matter?
Right.
Sure,
right,
he can
right.
have another kid.
To replace me?
Yeah. He's going to need it.
That's morbid. So Ace is looking for his ghost friend in the freezer where it's cold. And immediately we go outside to Nick talking to the fan sister. Which fan sister?
That was Ted. She joins him. She was looking for the Afikoman. It was broken in two in the beginning of the night. And at the end of the night, it would be back as one.
Kind of like maybe members of this team or different things. And she wants that $10.
Yeah. And Nick is kind of lost. He doesn't know what to do. And Ted's just like, well, what would Moses do?
He wasn't there to be liked. He got a sign and he answered the call. And then she takes it
although,
as...
Although, like, Nick is, at first, he was like, I don't know, part the sea.
That's funny.
Yell at everyone in the desert for 40 years.
And Ted takes the sign as Nick's sitting on the Afikoman that she needed. So she grabs that, gets her money. He's confused.
She's like, okay, you got a sign. Answer the call. You just got one, Moses. So at this point, I was worried he was going to take a call to save people and that he was going to race to the black door to do a sin.
Oh God, I would have been very upset. I cannot have two episodes without Nick at this point in the show.
Yeah. So but that was exactly where my head was. I was like, oh no, he's going to do it. He's going to develop a savior complex. That's how he's been being built up this
season.
They keep talking about sacrificing. Well, they don't keep talking about it, but like with Judge Abbott, like he will sacrifice himself potentially, but they don't talk about going after the glasses at all.
No, the glasses are evil and they're being really considered, like they're being looked at more as like from Pokemon, like the Team Rocket villains that are just kind of derpy. They're like, oh, we'll deal with them later. Like, no, I'm not going to come to your 10 o'clock appointment to murder me. Ha ha ha. Click. Like, it's not being taken seriously, mm-hmm. and it needs to be.
Well, she's already tried to kill multiple of them.
I know. And said that if my son dies, I will murder you. Like, mm-hmm. eye for an eye. Yeah, they're bad news. Well, she's bad news bears. He, I feel like, has potential to come around.
And I'm not saying that they should go and try to kill them instead of killing them. I'm saying that they should try to actively stop them.
Understood. That is how I read what you were saying.
Yeah.
But Shelby and Jonas are a good parallel to the whole topic of some people being redeemable. Like Jonas definitely feels like an obvious redeemable character, and Shelby, you'd have to work a little harder to redeem her. So that kind of is interesting to go on this whole topic of morality and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. That's a good point.
So Bess and Jesse show up at the Historical Society, and Bess is mad that Farquhar is selling little trinkets at her Historical Society. And I thought that was very funny because I also thought it was stupid that she was selling things.
It is stupid, but she's also like, they're actually quite nice. And then she takes one. I saw on Twitter X or whatever, someone like was just up in the Northeast and talked about how all these towns do have historical societies, not with all the supernatural stuff, but like
that we know about.
Yeah. But it is very similar to like how it's portrayed in the show.
Okay.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do one on a road trip someday.
And that's a long road trip. That's as far as Jade and Nick were going to drive.
Right. Literally half hour difference. Callie catches Bess and Bess Jr., she calls her, And Bess explains herself. She's like, listen, this is what we're doing. These are the stakes, and you're going to shut up and take it for a second.
Yeah, she goes from the beginning. She's like, okay, you know, those 8 corpses at Rose, there was this one, Nashua Kip, and that's when we cut off.
Mm-hmm. To a scene that was literally what we thought, what you thought was happening the other episode. So Nancy gets a message from Tristan with a picture of the shell. He's like, I escaped from my parents. Or will you come see me? And I immediately am like, it's a trap.
It's obviously a trap.
I think it worked, though, because we had the episode previously where he actually did do the shell thing. So while this one was clearly a trap, I wasn't mad at it because it kept the thing moving and it made me anxious. I'm like, no, Nancy, no.
And then we go over to the black door where George is convincing Abbott not to do it.
Yeah, and Nick showed up and he was going to also try to stop. And that was his sign was to go do that. And George is like, oh, I thought you came around to my side of like, let Abbott do it. And he's like, I guess we both came to the realization that that wasn't the right decision at the same time.
I thought that her line to Abbott saying that putting a target on yourself is punishment, it's not actually redemption, I thought that was actually a super powerful line. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like with lower stakes, people do that. They punish themselves thinking that that will make themselves feel better, and it doesn't. And she does offer to help, but makes it clear, I don't forgive you, but you took a chance on me, so I can do the same for you.
Yeah, maybe I can forgive you down the line kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Nancy is in trouble, so they scamper off. Lots of scampering going on this episode.
Yeah. She scampers in to meet Tristan, but of course it was not Tristan. It was Shelby. And she drops paralyzed to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Shelby says, that boy and his shells. And then she points out, Tristan's always had a soft side. And this is me being weird, but this is just so funny because he's the lobster kid. He's the lobster boy. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about his shells and a soft side. And I'm like, those are things lobsters have.
Good catch. I did not catch
that. I caught it both times. I was like, this is wild. But yeah, he's the lobster boy.
And her and Jonas are digging out a sign around Nancy doing the ritual. And the scene eater shows up doing the creepy backbend walk again.
I want to give a call out here to the performer playing the scene eater and also the people that shot this episode, because the way he's upside down and then moves his body to be kind of right side up was just so elegantly shot, but also impressive that they have that kind of body control. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they cast it really well, but I really liked the visual here.
There was a really cool tweet that like showed like just the power of the Sin Eater's face and everything. Oh. And it's all like practical effects. And that was really neat to see. And it was really depressing to see all the comments on this. Like, why is this on a Nancy Drew show? And what is a Nancy Drew show? I didn't even know this was out here. That was just infuriating. But all of us fans appreciate it and recognize the amazingness.
For sure.
Nancy is trying to get through to Tristan to get him to see her as Tristan, not as a sin eater. And Shelby's like, yeah, enough talking, goes to do the paralyzing thing, and crossbow Nick shoots it out of her hand.
Thank goodness it wasn't just Ryan with the crossbow, because he knows what would have happened.
He would have shot Nancy.
Oh god. Like, speed up the process a little bit.
Oh man. So we see Nick, Ryan, Bess, and George all showed up, and then there's this high-pitched noise and the sin eater goes away. And Jonas is like, what did you do to our son? And it turns out it wasn't them. It was Callie.
Yeah. And Bess says that Callie is the Sin Eater's minder. Did we know before this moment that the Sin Eater had a minder?
No.
Okay. So this was a lot of information very quickly. But when it comes back, it's all explained to us well. But Nancy, before we get to that, is like, wait, if you kill me, Tristan will hate you forever, even if you save him. And the glasses, that gets through because the glasses' main priority is Tristan, and they obviously don't want him to hate them.
Oh, I think it got through to Jonas.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it got through to Shelby. But it was enough that Jonas stopped reaching for the thing.
Good call. Yes, because he is more easily redeemable. He's quicker to forget. We are quicker to forgive him based on his actions. So that's interesting. And they don't kill her. And then we hear sirens in the background. And my thoughts here are, okay, one big season-long problem solved. Them, physically them.
Oh, just the glasses. I was going to say, well, Cindy, you're still out there.
No, there's a lot of things that have to be wrapped up.
Yeah.
But the glasses being arrested, I'm like, okay, you got Team Rocket. Now we can deal with the Pokemon that's going to destroy the world. Like, like you got the sidekicks. You got the doofy, like, antagonists, which needed to be taken care of. So I'm happy with that. But obviously there are bigger fish to fry now.
Yeah.
Or lobsters to boil. Oh, no. I know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you boil lobsters?
Before we move on, I just want to say how sweet it was Ryan holding Nancy at the end there.
I love them.
Yeah.
Dad number two.
Dad number two has progressed so much since the start. I mean, he is an example of a potentially irredeemable character who has put in the work to make himself a better person.
Yeah, because everyone is redeemable.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, that's really cute then that it ended with that visual of this person.
Yeah. All right. So then we got the glasses going to jail. Bess removes the thing from Nancy's back.
Of course she does.
Callie is talking about that the device she used, it can repel the Sin Eater. It's a family heirloom. And he's like, hey, you interested in selling it?
Hilarious and interesting timing there, Ryan.
Yeah.
Her family has been tasked with protecting the Sin Eater generation after generation. And she just flat out says, I don't care about any of you people. Like, and threatens them not to break the town's legacy like the glasses tried that night.
Although I feel like I don't know that any of them will try to do it because they don't want to kill anyone.
Yes.
But Nancy sometimes gets these.
Well, they want to cure the Sin Eater. They want to stop the Sin Eater, which would break the legacy. So maybe
if they can like break the mirror or something or the black door, maybe that would stop it. But would that still call a new Sin Eater every 30 years or within 30 years? I don't know.
Now you have
if they can't, it's the sinning is what kills the Sin Eater, I think they said.
Yes.
And so if no one's sinning, then the Sin Eater would just
They destroy the black door.
Yeah. So maybe that'll be the way that they go.
Dang, people be sinning a lot in order to kill these people by 30.
Anyways, we go back to the morgue. And Ace and his dad are talking about the Seder. And his dad gives him his book. Says it has notes from the first Seder that he ever hosted the night when he finally got his Ace's mom's parents permission to marry her.
And naturally he crushed it.
And says that Ace is more ready for this than he was. And it's just like a genuine, like, actual thank you moment with them. And then he leaves. And that's a closure that we were talking about at the beginning of the episode that, you know, their story's not over, but they are in a good place, especially after Ace and his dad didn't get along after the whole Grant thing.
Yes. And Ace is like, well, maybe it's best that the ghost is gone. Then she shows up immediately and says that what Nancy did hurt her.
Yeah, she said it hurt like I was in the storm. And Ace stopped the storm when he said that he didn't want her to go away. And then the ghost shows up, like, full form and says, no one has ever said that about me. I know that. I may not know who I am, but I know that that has never happened. And they reach out and they are able to physically touch.
Kind of like the movie Ghost.
I assume that there would be some kind of connection there.
I'm just kidding. Kind of. Yeah. So what is going on? Like, we're going to find out in the next episode. Who is this person? What is happening? What are the intentions of the creative team? Is Ace getting this love story? Is this person going to be brought back to life? Like, is she comatose? No, she's burnt. She burnt up. She shriveled.
Yeah. When she shows up, she's wearing all white. Was she a woman in white?
Oh, yeah. You're looking. I have no idea.
I mean, it just, her clothing is not what someone nowadays would just be out. I'm assuming this has something to do with the lightning storms. that caused fires and all that. And somehow Nancy was involved. She already knew Nashua Kipp. Maybe this isn't a recent body. I have no idea about decomposing and all that.
We're going to figure that out the next episode, right? And then the last episode is going to be like the first non-commercial break will be solving the Sin Eater. And then the rest of the episode will be a goodbye to the show.
Maybe.
Kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I or like halfway through the episode. Like I'd be shocked if we go the whole last two episodes just solving the season four problems. I feel like we need a bow on the show, mm-hmm. or like a what's going to happen to these people in the future, or a time jump.
Yeah. And the ghost does say maybe some feelings are stronger than anything else. What feelings is she talking about?
Love. Love and hand touching.
It's only been like 3 days.
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh, I guess it's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks since the body showed up.
Yeah. But there's still something else is awry or afoot.
So then we go over
speaking of feet. No, I jumped the gun. Damn it.
Oh. And then we go over to Bess lecturing the Fan Sisters. They are not to steal anymore from the Historical Society.
Yeah. Pot? Kettle much?
Yeah.
Yeah. She stole a keychain.
Also, Lil Miss steals a lot of stuff.
She stole Ace's badge this episode.
Yeah.
But she wasn't wrong that they should stop. And they're like, no, we didn't take that from the Historical Society. We took this thing from Ryan's car.
And they're like, okay, Bess takes him out for a trip to Ryan. And George tells Nick, we are officially a thou shalt not steal establishment. And he's like, great, that's one commandment down.
Hilarious. And Nick is still going to go on a road trip.
George doesn't like that idea.
Mm-mm. They're talking about being on different roads and going off different places. And that's sort of connecting to the Seder conversations. And George is good as long as she can see Nick's road from her own. I liked that. It felt like closure. And it explained to me that the beginning of the episode where she's hesitant about the road trip, it's not like I want to be with Nick and I'm jealous of Jade. It was, oh no, we are not together anymore. So we're going to be going different paths in life. And those might physically distance us.
Yeah.
So she's going to miss her friend is more about what it was.
And I think that's very sweet. And I like that storyline. And I like that that's what we're getting like towards the end of their storyline.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Jean and Carson. And he's thanking her for talking with him. And he's like, did you have anything figured out in this minute that you needed? And she said, yeah, I figured out that I'm going to need more than a minute to figure this out. And he's like, well, it's completely your decision. To which she says, yes, I know. Thank you. But also, I want you to be a part of this conversation. I really liked how they both handled that.
Yeah, I think it was really, it's a very mature conversation, which makes sense that they are, you know, mature adults. Both recognizing how much this would change, but ultimately it is Jean's decision. Do they actually want to have this baby? And she says, like, you've done it. Your daughter's all grown. You're an empty nester. If that was all go away, how would you feel? When I listened to it, I didn't catch it this way. But like when I wrote it in my notes, it was like, you've done it. Your daughter's grown. How would you feel if that went away? And I was like, well, his daughter almost died just now. Like, I felt like there were different levels there. But he also had no idea that Nancy almost died tonight.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
No, he was too focused on Jean's feet.
Right. Well, I mean, Nancy and Ryan didn't say anything to him about it. Like,
Yeah. Carson Drew, foot detective.
Ugh, gross.
Honestly, the way he's handled the supernatural things in the past, I'm kind of glad he didn't know because he's not great with them.
I mean, he's learning.
Yeah,
he's slowly getting better. He's the one that found out about the Wraith.
True, true. All right. Then we have dad number two, bringing Nancy food and a message to forgive herself, even if she doesn't know what she did. The people who love you no matter what. Basically, you need to stop beating yourself up.
Yeah, the worst thing you did, no matter what it is, that's not who you are.
Oh, love that. Love that, love that. He also brought her the photo from Callie's camera, mm-hmm. and gives her the broken ambeth. I'm like, okay, well, good. Nancy having the broken ambeth, they can fix the ambeth. I'm sure the next episode will be them fixing the ambeth and using it to figure out what she did or trying to do that.
And then he's like hesitant. He's like, you don't need me to give you advice, but I worry about you. So you need to eat something, get out, get some sun. It's good for you. And then he gives her space. And I love that he's not just, he is being a dad. He is taking care of her. He is giving her the messages that she needs and what she needs to hear. But then he's also like, I know her. This is what she asked for, the photo and the ambith and space. Like, yeah, I think he just did really well.
And also here's food.
Yes.
Which he can bring me food if he wants to.
Always.
So then Nancy notices the timestamp. I'm sorry. I feel like she would have already noticed the timestamp. And I feel like it would have been a much bigger deal to be like, knowing the time that she went there would be.
She didn't get the photo until just now, though. Like, Shelby showed her the photo, but who's to say, like, where Shelby's hands were if she were.
Okay. I'm like, just thinking photographic memory.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking that it's justifiable that she didn't see it. All right.
Well, now that this is Nancy's first actual chance to look at the photo, I'm glad that she sees the timestamp and immediately is like, okay, where was I at that time? When does this happen? What, like, sleuthing, you know?
Yeah. And she finds out, she goes to the morgue and is talking to Ace, showing him the photo. Like, you called me after my mom's memorial at 11:21. Time on the photo is 11:47. It's only 26 minutes. So
what the heck happened in 26 minutes?
I mean, this show, an entire episode could happen in 26 minutes.
Literally.
But it's like, I don't know what it could be. But she thinks that...
I mean, did they accidentally kill this girl? Did they try to do some ritual or some... Did they try to, like, meet up and then lightning struck and burnt the forest down? Like,
and then she was the one that went and confessed to the Sin Eater. And the next day, Jane Doe shows up. But whatever it is, she thinks that both her and Ace are responsible for Jane Doe's death.
And, of course, they all love to blame themselves. So we will see how that goes. All right. Do you have anything else from this episode, Sarah?
So I do have my theory.
Yeah.
Tristan's run as Sin Eater is gonna probably be coming to an end pretty soon, unfortunately. And we know that it's a...
Meaning he's gonna die or they're gonna solve it and heal him?
If they do not solve it, then there's already a new baby that could be the new Sin Eater. Because they made a point that it's not attached to someone already born. It's to an unborn baby that the Sin Eater is attached to.
Yes. So you think it's gonna become Nancy's little sibling... What would that do? What would that mean for us? Because we're not going to ever see that kid grow up.
No, it's true. I don't know. It just seems odd timing that they tried to end the Sin Eater's curse. It didn't work.
Yeah.
We already know that he's in his late 20s.
Here's a pregnancy.
And
yeah.
Here's a pregnancy.
I totally get where you're coming from. I just don't know how it would play out in the time constrictions of what we have left. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. They have,
All right.
Maybe she's pregnant with a ferret. I'm just
kidding. Maybe the baby is Temperance. Yeah.
Okay, you heard it here first. The baby is Temperance. All right. MVPs.
Okay, so I think most helpful, I am going to go with Ryan this episode. If he didn't come in and save Nancy at the beginning, maybe the rest of this wouldn't have all panned out and she would have just... died at 10 p.m. He also is helpful in just supporting her and doing what needs to be done, getting the information. I think that he just was a super sleuth this episode.
Yeah, it's interesting this season. I feel like a lot of the super sleuths we've been handing out for helpful have been like helping people on personal levels, which you touched on a little bit, but supporting her it's those human talks.
Yeah.
Between characters really being there for each other, that has been a lot of our super sleuths. I guess I'll agree because I don't have another thing. Like, they all had moments. There were little moments. Oh, I do have my entertaining. So yeah, I'll go ahead and piggyback off of your Ryan. Do you care if I start entertaining?
Go for it.
I think I'm going to give it to Ace this time. This was
twin.
Hey. This was a good Ace episode. This was a good Ace characterization episode. And he was charming during his Seder tradition, leading everything. He has a lot of good stuff with the ghost. I think the actor there and also the character kind of led this episode a bit. And he put his Ace spin on the Seder ritual.
I completely agree with all of that. I have nothing to add.
Cool. All right. What's the next episode, Sarah?
Episode 12, the penultimate episode, The Heartbreak of Truth.
Oh, no. I can't take that.
Okay. So I feel like it could be the heartbreak of truth of what the sin was that Nancy did. Could it be the heartbreak of truth of they break the sin and your curse and all the sins come flooding back and the town is no longer protected from its truth?
Oh.
I feel like there's a few ways this could go.
There could also be the ace and the ghost thing.
Mm-hmm.
There could be... Yeah. I'm excited. I think these next two are going to be really strong. I'm going into these next two really excited.
Yes, agreed.
And sad because I will miss it a lot.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. We're excited to finish the season off with you. We have been plotting and scheming different things that Sarah and I can record for your listening pleasure and because we enjoy hanging out with each other for post-season episodes. So we will have some things there, but we've got two more episodes. Until next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's Breck Bassinger, but you may recognize my voice as Stargirl from CW Stargirl. And as Stargirl, I always listen to Stargirl After Show. It's so much fun getting to listen to all of my different castmates' interviews, hear about DC lore, and of course, all the Stargirl history. So make sure you go listen to Stargirl After Show. And yes, I know I just said Stargirl like 50 times, but seriously, go listen to it.